dismay. This will be a reality check for those guys. It's okay, but nowhere near as good as their previous films. Of course, they think it's great. Trust me, it's not. But it will open. Eisner said that early screenings of Nemo were disappointing, but that the film improved dramatically by the time it opened. Still, others said Eisner was never enthusiastic about it. With Eisner increasingly irritated by Steve Jobs' refusal to extend the agreement with Disney on terms Eisner considered even remotely reasonable, and jealous and resentful of Pixar's admiring press, it was almost as though Eisner wanted Nemo to fail, however irrational, considering that Disney would reap 50% of the profits on top of its marketing and distribution costs. Eisner also went out of his way to stress the success of ABC Family. As for ABC Family, we have a meeting next week during which the head of the network, Angela Shapiro, will present her revamped vision. Specifically, Angela will take us through the programming mix, original as well as repurposed material from ABC, the schedule, and the marketing that will help define the network. Angela is doing a great job as ABC Family starts to really perform. A showdown loomed at the Disney board meeting set for September 24th, where directors would be asked to vote on various reforms, on the independence of directors, on committee membership, and on a new action plan that was being submitted for approval by Eisner. Gold knew he lacked a majority on the board that would support him, and without it, directors were unwilling to risk alienating Eisner. Even Tom Murphy, who had decided to support Eisner, despite praising Gold for speaking his mind, said it was pointless to vote with him as long as he remained in the minority. Though he continued to meet privately with other directors, Gold's campaign had stalled after his meeting with Watson, now that Eisner knew what he was doing. Still, Gold pressed ahead, sending a detailed 8-page letter to directors in early September analyzing Disney's disappointing results, the failure to meet goals of previous 5-year plans, and stressing the need for greater diligence by directors in light of Enron and other scandals. Management shares tidbits, rumors, and feel-good messages regarding new movie releases and television pilots rather than factual comparisons to summary targets, Gold wrote. This board needs to carefully consider past performance, measure management against its promises and projections, and get independent assessments and data about strategic issues. We can no longer make decisions predicated solely on management's trust me attitude and ad hoc conclusions. Gold asked for the appointment of a special committee of the board, with himself as a member, to commission a diagnostic review of Disney by outside consultants. Though cloaked in different terminology, it was essentially the same thing as the management review that had preceded Ron Miller's ouster in 1984, and the implications for Eisner of adopting such a proposal were obvious. Gold asked that the proposal be placed on the agenda and asked for time to make a presentation to the board. As Gold's letter-writing campaign continued, Eisner met with each of the board members individually, shoring up his support. When he met Van de Kamp for lunch, he warned her that there was no middle ground. "If you vote for that side," he said, referring to Gold and Roy, "you're off the board." "Don't be like that," Van de Kamp said. "You're just upset. Stanley is not your..."